A few weeks ago, the leaders of the world's most industrialized countries, the G20, promised $1 trillion to the IMF in support for developing countries hit by the most severe global economic downturn in more than 50 years. But financial experts say if the IMF is to succeed, its leadership, dominated by Western countries and Japan, needs to include poor countries and emerging economies like China, India, and Brazil. Usually, the head of the IMF is a European, while the head of the World Bank is an American. Reformers would like to see the posts be open to the most skilled candidates, regardless of region. Also, the 185-member executive board of the IMF is weighted toward the West. Meanwhile, major decisions must have the support of over 85% of the votes cast by the board. Its members are allotted a different percentage of votes. Today, most go to the United States, which has 17%. In effect, it gives the U.S. veto power, preventing other countries from reaching the 85% of votes needed to pass significant policy changes. 25 nations of the European Union have 32% of the vote. In contrast, the combined voting shares of China, India, Brazil, and Mexico are a little over 10%. Sub-Saharan Africa has just over 4%. Two researchers at the Center for Global Development in Washington want to change that. A senior fellow at the center, Vijaya Ramachandran, and co-author Enrique Rueda Sabater complained that the power of board members is based on a combination of factors, including economic and geopolitical influence. Meanwhile, some of the world's most populous countries, including Pakistan, and most important economies like China and India, are underrepresented. Ramachandran says her proposal would apportion voting shares to any countries that have either 2% of the world's population or 2% of global gross domestic product, or GDP. The new arrangement changes the balance of power in favor of those with large populations or large economies. The plan, she says, balances representation and effectiveness in a transparent manner.
While resources are often sort of included in these discussions, people rarely look at this question of population. Where do the world's people live? And when you look at who has 2% of the world's population, it's countries like Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nigeria. These countries come in to the equation. The smaller and mid-sized economies don't make that cut. Some of them don't make the cut either on GDP or on population. For example, a country like Australia neither has 2% of GDP nor 2% of the world's population. Neither does South Korea. These are countries that currently have significant influence on the Bretton Woods board.
Under the plan, the countries that do not make the 2% cut could be organized into regional blocks and be represented on the board by a leader chosen by member countries. Leadership could also be held on a rotating basis. This, she says, would bring small and mid-sized countries to the table. Others have different ideas. Soren Ambrose is the Development Finance Coordinator for ActionAid International in Nairobi. He favors a double majority system, requiring a majority of member countries to approve significant decisions. This would be used in addition to the system already in use today. Ambrose says under this plan, a wealthy minority could not overrule the bulk of member countries.
Right now, all the decisions are made based on how power is apportioned according to economic power of the countries. So the United States has by far the most votes because it's the biggest economy. Japan has the second largest amount and so on. So you count the number of votes according to that weighted voting pattern. We are suggesting that continue, but that for a major decision or policy change to happen at the institutions, that there be a second kind of vote that's required, which is the number of countries. So it would be more like the UN General Assembly, where you would have to have a majority of the member countries. There are 185 member countries, so we're talking about, 93 would have to support a proposal for it to pass, in addition to it having to get the majority of votes under the current voting arrangement. So we think only when we have that kind of double democratic safety valve will we begin to see the kind of negotiations, the kind of democracy that has been missing at the IMF and the World Bank until now.
The calls for change extend to the World Bank as well. One solution is supported by an NGO supporting reform, the Bretton Woods Project. It calls for a system of parity between members where lenders and borrowers would each have an equal number of votes on the bank's executive board. Ramachandran of the Center for Global Development says the proposals do not enjoy universal support. Some fear the reforms might dilute the strong working relationship between the United States and Europe, which are said to be critical for development. On the other hand, development activists fear that without better representation, emerging powers like China and India are not likely to cooperate on issues such as limiting greenhouse gas emissions or increased support for efforts by the IMF and World Bank to shield poor countries from the global recession. I'm William Eagle in Washington.